possible, this guy. And he'd come the end of June.
End of June, I hear.
Because he was saved the end of July, but I said.
Crazy mice, you know? Hi, sorry. Already recording. Who's this other person with the interesting username? I feel awfully alone.
Rebbe can use this opportunity to log into Facebook and set that up while waiting for others to join.
Okay, good. Go live. Great.
Rebbe, I'm stepping into a meeting, so if Rebbe needs me, WhatsApp me.
Okay, good. I hope guys will join. Hope people are around. Okay, thanks. Okay, we're alive. Not too much of an audience. Okay, we're gonna still wait. I can get one guy, I'm gonna go forward at this thing. Hope everybody's doing well. So if anybody's listening, I'm gonna tell you about Reb Tzadik. I'm talking to myself, but that's okay. It wouldn't be the first time. Reb Tzadik was a big genius, huge genius. Said that he knew all the Talmud at age 8. And he had an interesting story happen to him. This is the story that I heard from my teachers. That he needed to get, he got married, and then there was a problem with the divorce. So he got something, a heter meir rabbanim. A certain situation where, let's say, if the wife is not well or something, she can't really receive the divorce, so he can go and get certain signatures. Very complicated situation. And he went around to different communities, and he spoke to different rabbanim. Oh, good. And he met at that point someone named Ishbitz Rebbe, the Mordechai Yosef of Ishbitz, was a very interesting and independent thinker. And he kind of connected him to a certain deeper level of looking at all of the Talmud. Moshe, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. I don't know exactly. Maybe today is like vacation day and I wasn't told. Nave is Aram Yosef, but he had to go into a meeting. There's somebody with an interesting username and he doesn't show up. I don't have any idea who it might be. But that's okay. So I'm just talking about, we're going to do a piece today from Reb Tzadik. I hope. If it's just you and me, we'll still do it. We're just live on Facebook. It's just, again, I'm just disappearing out of the meeting. Anyway, so Reb Tzadik Cohen was a very, very interesting yid. He lived in the beginning of the, at the end of the 1800s. And he was a super genius, like crazy genius. And also, I think, into the 1900s. And he knew, they said they knew all the Talmud by the time he was 8 years old. It was, and he met up with, because of a very interesting event, he ended up with a special Jew named the Ishbitzer Rebbe. If you ever, Shlomo Karabach is? You've heard of Shlomo Karabach, I hope.
Of course.
So Shlomo Karabach quoted a few people, probably more than anybody. Probably quoted the Ishbitzer more than anybody. The Ishbitzer was a certain that was rather remarkable. Oh, good, now we can start. Good. Now we got like three Jews like a Zeman. Okay. So anyway, so he met him and he created a whole different style, a very interesting and in-depth style of approaching all the Torah. As all in every generation, he kind of gets to a deeper level. The Baal Shem introduced a deeper level and the Ramchal and the Vilna Gaon. Everybody comes with a certain chiddush to create, like, an open up a new world. And that's very often what we often do in Torah, is we're trying to create a new connection with it. Because the Torah that was before was kind of the revelation of, for that generation. But the revelation for a different generation is a different reality. Anyway, so let us go into this piece. You have it. I sent it out. If you want to follow it along, that's great. And if you want, I'll just read it. It's a piece in Kuf Tzadi Tes in Reb Tzadik. It says like this. Again, he's just going to give us an overview of a topic. We've been talking about love of Hashem. We've been talking about different sorts of love. Love of Torah, love of the Jewish people, and love of Hashem. And now we're going to focus in a little bit more deeply into a different aspect of loving Hashem. Okay, so Akaris Ahava, hu b'shlosha devarim. To recognize, to be aware of the different types of Ahava, of love, there are three types. Sha'omru zikrono lebracha. It says, I'm sorry, Akaris Ahava, it's all one sentence, sorry. Akaris Ahava, hu b'shlosha devarim, sha'omru zikrono lebracha, sha'odam nikka. So he's going to say a very interesting thing. The Gemara says that a person is recognized by three things. Kiso, kaso, kosa, right? A very famous phrase, right? His kiso, it was his pocket, which means his money. That's one way of knowing how a person, who that person really is. Bakoso, bakaso is going to be when he gets angry, and bakoso. And the way he drinks, when he drinks, how does it, how much does it affect him? So Rav Tzadik is going to take this incredible, he's just going to like, he says, well, if that somehow measures a person, so that will hopefully also give us a key to how to measure his connection to Hashem, right? Because if that's who the person is when he's in a bad mood, like normally what the rabbis mean to say is, a person is recognizing these three, kisa, right? Comes to his money, how stingy is he? How much does he give? How much does he care? How much does he, right? There's some, it's something very relevant to him. Kaso is surely anger, what gets him upset, what bothers him. And koso is how he drinks. How does he handle himself when he's being a little like loose, when things are just kind of like a little more free form, a little more free flowing? You know, how kind of like unburdened does he get? How, you know, how much does he just let things flow? So if that's the case, that kind of represents something deep within us. That's going to represent also the love that we have and how we express our love. Pretty much, probably much in other things too, but definitely in our relationship to Hashem. So he says like this. One of the things that we say is versus bekiso. He's going to not go in order. He says bekiso is how we measure ourselves, which is our wallet. Neged b'chol modecha, which has to do when we say we serve Hashem, says in Kriyishma, should serve Hashem, love Hashem, son, love Hashem with all your heart, with all your might, and with all of your money, right? B'chol nafshecha. Oh, good. Very nice. Okay, so we're not so far in. Shalom Yanko, how are you?
Baruch Hashem.
Good. We started in this piece. It's been a little slow over here, but that's okay because it's, you know, it's summer. We get a little slower. This, the Reb Tzadik is talking about in Kuf Tzadik test, that there are three types of love. And those three types of love are going to be measured by the three types of love that people have. We have, I'm sorry, the three types of qualities that we have in people. We know that a person can be judged. Bekitsa, bekasa, bekosa, right? His wallet, his, if he gets angry, and his, how he drinks. And Reb Tzadik says that those are going to reflect love of Hashem too. They're also going to just be keys to getting connected to Hashem. It says that bekisa, that's the first one, that's where we got up. And in the second line, I sent this out if you want to follow it. Kiso is his wallet, means connected. When we say you should love Hashem with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your money, ma'udecha means your money. Serving Hashem with all of your money is represented in terms of the Avos, in terms of our great forefathers by Yaakov, Olav Hashem. Where do we see that? Kamosha Omru Zichron Lebracha. Like the rabbis tell us, it says Yesh Lecha Odom Shemamono. There are certain people that their money are more dear than their life. Lekach Namar B'chol Modefa. Now I just want to tell you, we should pause over here. You gentlemen, we should pause and get it. And a very interesting idea. Again, I've mentioned this many times. That we go through your Reb Tzadik. Reb Tzadik is packed with fascinating ideas. We say in the Gemara in Brachos that there are certain people. The Gemara says that why do we have to say you have to serve Hashem with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your money? If you have to serve Hashem with all of your money, you definitely have to serve Hashem with. Sorry, if you have to serve Hashem with your life, you definitely have to serve Him with your money. So the Gemara says no. There are certain people that the most thing important thing, most important thing in their life is their money, and certain people the most important thing in their life is their life. Right, they're living. So we normally think we're talking about the guys that are. They're not normal, right? Somebody goes up to them, and at gunpoint he says, "Give me your money." And the guy says, "No, I don't want to give my money." And the guy goes, "Pow!" Right? So we think. But there's another concept of serving Hashem and loving your money, that's brought by Yaakov. Yaakov, when he left the Pachim Katani, he left the little containers. And he went back to get them. He knew he was putting himself in danger. But the money was particularly precious to him because that was something that he worked for. Rashi, do believe, says this. He worked for it. So for Yaakov, it's not just somebody who's like giving up his life because he doesn't want to give, you know, the $100 in his pocket. We're talking about even by Yaakov Avinu. There's a concept by Tzadikim that it goes the other way. That they love their money more than they love their own life, in the sense that their money is more precious because it is something that they did. And that which they have accomplished is that which is most special to them, as opposed to their life, that's in Hashem's hands. Nothing they did to get it, nothing they do to deserve to continue it. So therefore, that's why it says that Hashem says you should love with all of our money, because that's by the type of tzaddik that Yaakov represents. And the morning chulin we learn from the Yaakov Avinu, Olav Hashem, the mamono chaviv migufa. And that's what it means that by Yaakov we learn that the money is more dear. So I just wanted to point out that. How does that work? How could it possibly be? So I'm just trying to explain it. The Zen Neged Ahavas Yisrael, and this idea has to do with the Jewish people, Shehuba Mamono, which is their money, because it's that which is precious to the Jewish people. The Yaakov Avinu, Olav Hashem. Ohev Yisrael. And Yaakov Avinu is the classic case of someone who loves the Jewish people. All right? So then we talk about Shema. So we're going to have parallels. Going to be like this. The first thing is the person who serve Hashem, the kiso, is money. That's opposite ma'udecha, love for serving Hashem with all of your money. And that has to do with Yaakov Avinu. That's step one. Step two, ubekoso. When it says serving with a person, you can tell a person in his alcohol, his kos is his cup. Neged b'chol levavcha. That has to do with all of your heart. Kamoshin emor, like it says, yayin v'tirosh yikach lev. That wine and old wine, they take the heart. Obviously, we know that wine affects the heart. V'nisoyin ha'lev hu kasher hu bilti miyusha. Now, Rabosa, I'm sorry this group isn't like a little bigger because this is like the kind of thing I would want to share. It's so gishmak. It's so special. Oh. Well, my oh my. What a treat. Wow, I make a shachianu.
Hey, Rebbe, how are you?
Very nice. How are you, Steve? Wow.
My neshama is literally fiending Torah.
I hope you've come to the right place, Steve. So we say like this. So far what we have is Rav Tzadik saying, Steve, do me the tova. Turn the camera somewhere so the light is on you. I want to see your partner. You guys should know that they retired certain numbers. There was an all-star of the team, of the Rehinsky, Steve, Mike, Gedalia. Like, they retired those numbers. They're like, you know, the uniforms are hanging up in the Masha's office. So we have to go on. I can't talk about too much about the legend right now. We have to go. We have to learn. All right?
Thank you, Rebbe.
For sure. So, again, we said that a person is measured by three things. As we know, the kiso, the kaso, the koso, right? With his cup, his piece, his pocket. How does he, you know, how is it when it comes to giving out money? How is it when he gets angry? And how is it when he drinks? And Reb Tzadik is saying that if we take that on a more positive way, we can use the same concept and say, how do we connect to Hashem when it comes to our money? Are we willing to give up our money to connect to Hashem? When we get angry, is Hashem still in our life? When we drink, is Hashem still in our life? So he's using, Reb Tzadik is just taking a fascinating switch and saying that what happens to us at our low moments is the same place that we go when we go into our high moments. So at our low moments, when we're talking about our money, don't ask me for money. Kaso, leave me alone. Kosa, a drink, right? And we all know what kosa can mean, right? But if a person takes those same concepts and he flips them to positive and says, okay, now what do I do on the positive side of things? So the first thing we've got through is saying, we talked about kiso. Kiso is in a person's pocket. A serm kach, that's called ma'odefa. We're supposed to serve Hashem with all our money. So we use our money in a good way, in a healthy way. We support tzedakah, we sub shuls, or whatever it may be, right? That's kiso. That's Yaakov. Yaakov represents ma'odefa because he's the one who went after the small containers. That's kiso. Then we're talking about kaso. Says the line over here again. If you guys want to follow inside, you're welcome to it. If you're not, you don't have to. But he says a beautiful line over here. The reason I paused, and I was so glad that we got a new customer, one of our best over here. He says like this, the nisoyan halev, the test of the heart, who kasher, who built the miyushav, is when our hearts are not settled. I'll say it again. The nisoyan halev, the challenge, the nisoyan, whatever, the test of the heart, who kasher, who built the miyusha? It's when it's not settled. That's the talent. That's the test. A nisoyan comes to us when we're challenged. We're only challenged when our hearts are not settled, when we're not at peace. That's when the nisoyan can come in. And everything's good when we're really at peace. And it's not easy because we're going to see that Avraham Avinu was the one who gets in the nisoyan of the lake, right? But it means that there's a challenge that we have when we're not internally calm. That's when the nisoyan of the lathe happens. Im kvar mamula. Now he says also a beautiful idea the other way. The im kvar mamula. Kol chalolo. They aver laaver. Now I don't know how a person gets to this point, but if a person's heart is filled from one side to the next, v'habas Hashem yizbarach v'emes, he mamish loves Hashem. And I want to tell. I just want to say this, and I'm going to make a point over here. If he loves Hashem, his heart is settled. So then, gam kishenichnas yayin yotzesot. So then all the beautiful depths come out. Sod Hashem, Aganu's bow. So all of the connection that he has with Hashem comes out. So when a person has his heart and he's all crazy and he's not settled and his heart is all over the place and his mind's all over the place and he drinks, so what comes out is all of that confusion, right? All of like, you know, he loves this one, he hates this one, you know, he gets all, goes up, he goes down, right? The whole procedure. So that's going to be a situation of, in terms of what happens normally. But if a person's heart is filled with Avas Hashem, so then when he gets drunk, so what comes out is that deep part. So that's B'chol Levavcha. B'chol Ha'in and Nisyonos, who are Yedei Kichas Alei. Right? And all the Nisyonos are all because the heart is taken, which means when our heart is not tied in, that's when the Nisyon comes. Right? We always know that in general, let me just tell you a famous, a very big rule that it says a lot in the Slonim Restorum, Nesiv Shalom. And Nisyon, we often wonder, why do we get tests? Well, I want to give you a great piece of advice that I heard from a very smart lady. I know some of you guys know Daniil Westreich, who was the violinist. Yaakov, you were around when Daniil used to play a little bit? The Breslau violinist?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this is before your time. This is after your time, Steve. So there was a very, so his wife's a smart, smart lady. She has a school. So I want to tell you something smart that she said in terms of getting a little clarity of the heart. So in general, in Slonim Reshforim, the idea is a person only gets a nisoyan when what he has worked, what has normally given to him is taken away, which means what the person is given, a person has a certain amount of clarity, a person has a certain amount of common sense, right? There's certain things that we have worked on. The things that we work on are the things that stay with us when we are being challenged. Right, when he says talking about kichas alev, that the heart is taken, it means that normal connection, understanding, clarity that we have, that's taken away. And then what we're left is like the raw us, only that which we've worked on, only that which we've built for ourselves. And he says, Me'inyin amatzia v'chein v'cheskiyahu, shenem rabo, ozvu elokim l'nasosi, left Shem to test. He was tested. Okay, I don't want to get into this point. The thing I was going to say is, I think each one of us has the situation where we have, I just want to tell you, I think the line that I've heard more often from the day, from guys, it's not just they're unhappy, they think too much. I think I almost remember this. I'm not trying to put you on a hot speed. I almost remember this. It's like one of the first times I remember hearing it was from you, that you think too much.
Rebbe, I must have said that to you between 300 and 400 times.
Yeah, I was going to put the number a little higher, but definitely. So someone, you know, like a dollar for, so I heard a great idea. Now, she's a Breslover, so I'm not suggesting anybody do this. But the idea that she suggested was go out to the forest and yell of what you really want, of what you really need. Which means what she said was, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not abreast of her enough that I could do this. But what you want to do is, what's stirring up inside is what was really important to you and what's really not important to you. And what this guy thinks is important and what she thinks is important, what she can't stand, what he can't stand. And you've got tons of, like, information of stimuli, that's what I was looking for, of stimulus that's going into your brain. And you want to stop it and say, you know what I need? You know what's important to me? And you hit, but you can't do this lightly. It's not a soft exercise. You're like, you know what's important to me? It's really important to me to be caring about people. It's really important to me to make a lot of money. It's really important to me that I should have a connection with my children. And you get annoyed. And when you get annoyed, it quiets everything down. And
Rebbe, yeah. I would just say to that there's a very similar idea in yoga where it's, you know, there's a lot going on in what you just said. There's releasing all that energy and all that, you know, everything that's unsettled inside. It's that mental idea that you're releasing it and you're expressing.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah, agreed. So this is a philosophical discussion, which is not for now. I don't know if Jews can pull it off to be calm. You know what I mean? So like how we get in touch with ourselves, like it works, but it like kind of doesn't work. Like, I don't know. It's more of a philosophical discussion and it's not really for now, but I'll tell you how desperate I feel people are to get their head, like just like get things calm. There's something in America called, I don't know if people go there because of everything going on now. There's something called an amusement park. I don't know if I shared this story with you, Steve, like years back. Before I came to Eretz Israel, I taught in a high school in Teaneck. And we went on a trip. And we went to Six Flags. And, you know, when I was a kid, we went to, you had a roller coaster, you had this or that, you know, what do I know? So they tell me you want to go on the roller coaster, which is like, for sure. Like, why wouldn't I want to go on a roller coaster? So like my first indication that I should have been a little bit more concerned about this when he told me to take off my yarmulke because there was absolutely no way it was going to stay on. The name of the ride was called the Great American Scream Machine. I don't know if you guys, gentlemen, have been on this thing.
I have.
Anyway, I want to tell you, the ride is Mechaper of Onus. I don't think I ever was like, oh, this is what Gehenna is like. Like, you no control, spinning out of, like, totally out of, right? But the idea is people want it because it stops their brain.
Right.
And they're in the moment. They're in the moment.
Right. It forces you to be in the moment.
Right. You're nowhere else. And that's why I think one of the reasons people do it. That's why people do extreme sports, because you're in the moment. Anyway, let's get back to our topic over here. We're on another page, whoever is who's looking at it. Okay. Okay. Avraham Avinu Olav Hasholem Shu Neged Olav. The negative b'chol avavcha. So Avram represents b'chol avavcha, your heart. Nisnasa ben Yonas, because Avram was the one who had to put his heart in connection with Hashem. Who ikro ba'avas Hashem yizbarach. This sort of avoda is really connecting our hearts to Hashem. Shehu b'chol avavcha, which is all of your heart. Kederek she'omru rachmana liba boy. A very famous line that the rabbis tell us, that Hashem wants our hearts. Right? So that's Bechol Modech. He's not doing this in order. Bechol Avavcha. And he skips the first of Bechol Modecha. Bechol Modecha is it's Yaakov serving Hashem with your money. That's the Pachim Ketanim, the little containers. Certain people would rather give up everything in order to get their money. And then there's Bechol Avavcha, the people who are serving Hashem with their hearts. Right? And then we're going to have the third and final. Ubekaso. So let me give you an introduction to Kas. Kas is one of the great teachers. I think Rabbi Flippini has a book by that name. Kas is because something's wrong. Something in your system says not okay. Now, how it comes out is often not healthy. It's kas. But underneath kas is a huge teacher of what is okay and what's not okay, what bothers you and what doesn't bother you. So he says like this, Bekaso zenogea ad hanefesh. That's our very life. Our life is on kaso because that's our soul. What bothers us? Shenamar, Kederek Shenamar, it says, Toreth nafsho ba'apo. His soul is turned, is all torn up by his anger. So neged b'chol nafshecha. So that has to be b'chol nafshecha. You know, a person's anger represents that which is really important to them. A few no till nafshecha, and even if he takes your life, that's darga the Yitzhak. That's what Yitzhak stood for. Shemoser nafsho. Oh, it's such a great sefer. Which is Yitzhak, he gave up his life. When I have to give up something that's really important, no, I don't want to do that. Right? That's the anger, which is my nefesh. So when I give up that which is really important to me and it angers me, so I'm doing what Yitzhak did, so to speak, on a miniature level. I'm giving up something, it's like I'm giving up a little piece of my life. Right? Someone says something, you got to do something, you have to act a certain way, and you don't want to. That's kol nafshecha. The ikro avas the Torah, and that has to do with loving the Torah. Kano de bezoar, the oraisa misitra de gevura. Torah has to do with gevura. Now, I don't want to spend too much more time on some of these other things. He gets into like some pretty deep stuff. I just want to make sure that we're all together. Let me just kind of give like a general overview of what we've said so far. Because the part after this is important, but it just kind of, it's just like adding on. Again, we said a person can be judged in three ways. Bekiso, bekaso, bekoso. His pocket, his money, his anger, how he gets worked up, and his drinking. Says Rav Tzadik, those things represent the three ways that we can see how is our connection to Hashem. When it talks of, and each one has to do with Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And it's really in order. We say B'chol Avavcha, that's Avram. B'chol Nafshecha, that's Yitzchak. B'chol Modecha, that's Yaakov. Because Avram is B'chol Avavcha, that which is important to you, right? He had to give up his son, that which was dearest to him. Right? Yitzchak is B'chol Kaso, which means something he has to fight against. He has to, there's a truth that he's fighting for. That has to do with Kas. And Yaakov has to do with Koso. Sorry, Kiso, his money. Because we see that Yaakov took care of the sheep. He took care of the, as we went over the Pachim Ketanim. So that's the general breakup. And for all you working guys out there, it happens to be that giving a shear while everybody's kind of involved in business is a little bit challenging. You know, man, I just want to tell you that at some point you'll give over a shear and, you know, people will be involved in important business. And I'm not trying to take away because, you know, everybody's doing business. It's more important I get to see your beautiful faces as opposed to even if you have important things to do. But it happens to be that when a person is in terms of like these three connections, the thought just jumped out of my mind. I'm sorry. But again, the idea is that there are things which are important to us. And I forget this thought I had. I'm sorry. So the three things that are important to us, we have to think, oh, I wanted to do with Chol Modecha, with the money. I was going to say something about money. Oh, Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman says that money is a huge thing. Rabbi Nachman says that a person can't be a real chacham. The Gemara says, who becomes a Navi? So he says that a person can't become a Navi unless he's wise, he's a beautiful stature, and he's wealthy. And Rabbi Nachman holds there's something very special about money and the lessons that go along with it. So that even though, in general, people consider money like a quicksand of a certain sort, and it can get sucked into it. But Rabbi Nachman holds it's a huge avoda, and huge wisdom is hidden in that avoda. I have had a Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Tauber, and he said the amount of amunah and the amount of lessons that he learned about hashkacha, Hashem running the world, and amunah. He said it was no comparison in terms of when he was outside in the world. Okay, I wanted to say that. I wanted to just make one small point. Maybe we'll go on to the piece, maybe not. So one of the things that we're saying is to love Hashem, it has to call b'chol levavcha, right? Obviously. So I just want to tell you what I've been working on these days. And sometimes it sobers me about how far I think I really am, like how far I feel to be. Like I know that Hashem runs the world, right? Like, you know, I read the books, I got it, they're not a shkuf. But to really feel like Hashem is running the world, my world, like me, my wife, my children, the money, where I'm ending up. Sometimes it's blatant. Sometimes it's like right out there. With Hashem's help, I think I mentioned, Yaakov, you know this, Steve, I don't know if you know this, Mr. Hashem, we bought an apartment in Yerushalayim. We sold in Telstone. Maybe I mentioned, whatever. And we're moving hopefully sometime during this month. Total gift. Total eshkach. Like straight out. But in general, sometimes the feeling of living with Hashem is not quite as relevant or as deep or as present as maybe it could be or it should be. Or
Rebbe, can I just say one thing? Rebbe, can I just say one thing? One of the things in my travels that blew me away was when, I'll give you an example. There's a place in Jamaica that not really a lot of tourists go. And it's all the way on the south coast. It's called the Black Sand Beaches. The beaches feel the same, but the sand is black. It feels the same, but it's just black because it's volcanic, whatever. And I'm walking down the beach, and every single boat was named something to do with God. Every boat, that was their name. It was insane. So I pull a guy aside. Like, I'm talking about, the boat was named God's Help. Next boat, God Helps Me. Next boat, We Love God, I Love God, God's Shepherd. You know, so I pull a guy aside and I say, can I just ask you a question? Like, I live in New York. I've been around boats a little bit. I live like near the beach, you know. I've never seen anything like this. And the guy said to me a beautiful thing. He said, you don't realize. He's like, a mile from here, there's a church. And in that church, what do they pray for? I need fish to eat and land to grow. So they go from the church, they go in their boat, they catch fish, and their prayers are answered. So it's almost like what you were saying in the way that unless they were going to catch the fish and grow the food, they would have never understood the ashkacha in it. Unless you're dealing in money, you're not going to feel that ashkacha. And not saying, obviously, everybody has to do their shtadlus, but that knocked me off my seat that they have such a simple life, and they're so devout.
Right.
So devout. I saw people hiking through the jungle to get to work, to get to church.
Uh-huh.
Because to them, it's a simpler process. We pray, we go fish, we fish, you know. And with money, I think you can see that more.
Right. So it could be, Steve, what I'm just thinking as you're saying it. We as, you know, we're in more like an, you know, a kind of a more sophisticated type of society, for better or for worse. But like, we're called upon to like elevate the world and affect the world in a positive way. So that is going to not be as easy in a certain way as being a fisherman.
Right.
The fisherman is always like, need fish. God help me. I'm out on the boat. There's the fish. Wow. Thank you, God.
Right.
But once you're in the process of trying to affect the world, again, which is not necessarily how we view it, because we can get sucked into the world. We can kind of be like, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I'm at this point. But if we affect it, really what we're out here doing is trying to elevate the world and make it a, you know, excuse me for the phrase of Tikkun Olam, but whatever, we're trying to elevate the world in a positive way. And so therefore we got to like, we're diving into the deep end. You know, we got like, you know, it's so much going on. And to do that and maintain perspective, I think is exactly the challenge that I'm thinking about. I mean, I just think you brought it out in a beautiful way. Because then people get lost. You know, you're down here with the fish in the village, and then, you know, life is a little bit simpler, you know? So, no, it even says, it's interesting, it says in Yonah, it says that Yonah knew that the nations were going to do tshuva. He didn't want to bring the message because he knew we were going to do it. Because it says they're called Karobe Tshuva. They're much closer to Tshuva. So it bothered me. Like, what do you mean? Why are the nations closer to tshuva? And it could be the answer is like you're saying. They don't have the job of elevating the whole world. They're supposed to fish, which is beautiful. Like, we're not taking away from that. So they crave tshuva because it's just less complicated. Our lives are extremely complicated, for better or for worse, and hopefully for better. But there's a price that we pay, and there's a distancing from ourselves that we have, and a distancing from Hashem that we have. And how that affects us means a tshuva is also not going to be as close, because we're in the middle of this whirlwind. So, I mean, I never thought of it, but that could be that's something to do with it. Maybe. But I'm just saying, I think it's something for us to think about in, you know, these three different levels of how we use our money, how we use our, what upsets us, what, when we get, like, when we let our hair down, so to speak, a little drinking, whatever, like, how, what do we look like? But to know that there's a positive side to that. Like, money is just a gift, and so a person can use his money, and he can just, whatever. You know, I want to tell you, since Steve, we haven't chosen a while, so like, I want to tell you, when I was in the Catskills this last summer, so there's a guy that's a Franklin. I think our Yaakov knows Shlomo Franklin. You know Shlomo Franklin? Never.
Was he like a guitarist or a drummer?
Yeah, guitarist.
Yeah, I think I vaguely know him.
Now, there's a beautiful, beautiful farm up there. So,
oh, he's a Franklin son?
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm familiar with the Franklins. Yeah.
Right. So, again, wow. I want to tell stories. I keep on telling the stories. I keep on, what was the story about Franklin I wanted to tell? Something about.
Great guitarist, the farm.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the father. I'm sorry. I got so excited.
My father built a log cabin over there.
Oh, really?
Years ago, yeah.
He helped, I think he helped Refoil.
Yeah.
Yeah, we stayed in that log cabin.
Oh, nice.
But I forget, something about simplicity, but yeah, whatever. It just, you know, just the world we're in and how to stop that. You know, and I, right now, again, I don't know what the situation is in the States, but right now, the COVID situation here with the police guard is definitely getting better. And there's going to be like a sense of like, what have we learned? You know, how do we bring that back in? I forget what I was going to say. Okay. All right. Listen, Rebosa, I don't know if there's anything. Let me just see if there's any particular lines that I wanted to share over here.
No. Go ahead, Rabbi. I have to go.
Rabbi, I got to go too.
Because I have to go.
I didn't listen to your voice note yet, Rabbi.
Everyone should be Matzliach.
Amen.
Very much. Rabbi,
thank you so much. This is my favorite TV show.
You can wait and watch the reruns.
Okay, deal. Rabbi, I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Great to see you.